Today Shir Masechet Chulin Daf Tzad Gimel. We will begin in Daf Tzad Gimel Amar Aleph, four lines from the top. Gufa Amar Rab Abba Amar Yehudam Shmuel Chelef Shabbos Chayfa Asai. We know, as we have learned and will continue learning, the Torah says that Chelef is Asur. It says the Gemara Chelef, that the Chelef is covered by meat, is Mutar. Rashi says that is called the Chelef Shalak Solem. The Solem are next to the kidneys, and the Mishnah, the Gemara is teaching us that Chelef that's covered by meat is not considered Chelef. Even though, says the Madani Yontif, where this chalev is on top of the kloyus, it's under the ksalim but over the kloyus, still when it's all laying, it looks like meat covering it. And even though, as the Rashba says, it has all of the simonim of chalev, we learned earlier in the Masechta that the way to identify what chalev is, tusuf krum v'niklef, it's laid out like a sheet, it has a membrane, and it easily peeled off. Still, even though it has all of those characteristics, the halacha is that it's not considered chalev. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that true? V'amar Rav Abba, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Hai Tarba, the Tusei Masna, the chalev that's under the loins, under the ksalim, is asur. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abai, the reason that chalev is asur is Behema B'chayeh Prukim Mefk. When the animal is alive and it walks, so then the chalev gets exposed. And since under those circumstances the chalev gets exposed, that's why it's not considered under the basar. There is a machlokes rishonim. I saw if once the Gemara gives this answer, does it mean that the chalev is also midaraisa? That's the opinion of the Rosh. Tosfos seems to say that since the chalev is covered by meat, it's also because, as we just learned, when it walks, it's exposed, but it's only also midrabanim. I'm not a butcher, nor the son of a butcher. However, I remember what was said in yeshiva, but that behema b'chayeh prukim mefrik, that when the animal walks, it becomes exposed, and that's why it's asur. Amar Yehudam Shmuel, Amar Abba, Amar Yehudam Shmuel, chelev shel ahemsis, or beis kaisis, as we've learned earlier at the Masechta, the animal has four stomachs, and the Gemara is teaching us that the chelev and the various stomachs are asurim, on top of the various stomachs are asur, to the degree that there's a oynish karis, there's a chiv karis feeding that chalev. And he continues the Gemara to say, v'zeh chalev shal akarev. The Torah speaks about chalev shal akarev. When we speak about bringing carbon, the Torah says chalev ha-mechasas akarev. And the Gemara is saying that this chalev that we just identified is the chalev shel akarev that the Torah Akdoisha speaks about. Amar of Abba, Amar of Yehudam Shmuel, Hai Tarba de Kuslisa, the chalev which is by the Kuslisa bone, Osir, it's Osir, and not only is Osir, but he suggests that there's an Einish Karas for it. There is a difference of opinion where this kilbosis is. Some say that it's right above the tail, and in fact, it's connected to the tail. Rashi says it's a small bone, but it's not necessarily such a small bone. Another explanation that's given, it's exactly where the thigh it connects to the leg, and that's the chalba de kuslisa. Says the Gemara, he teaches us that it's osur and has einish karis, and he continues saying that the Torah speaks about chalev haksolim, and this is considered chalev haksolim. And the Ran says that what the Gemara here says, that it's called chalev she'al haksolim, it doesn't mean that it's only a chalev of ksolim. It's not the only chalav shel ksalim. There's other chalav which is considered chalav shel ksalim. This is also considered chalav ksalim. Abba Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel chut nishabiyad. The blood vessels that are in the forearm of the animal, asurim, they're asur b'achila. Here too, we need to explain, as we've spoken previously in our shurim, when we speak about a leg of an animal, there are three bones. There's the bottom bone, which is called arkuva tachtoina. There's the middle bone, which is called arkuva alyoina. And then, on top of them, there is the kosef. There's a bone that attaches to the shoulder. And what we're learning from here, and what the Gemara is teaching us, according to some Rishonim, is that we have to take out, Rashi says, the chutim that are in the shoulder of the animal. The Bali Iter disagrees. He says that we don't have to just take out the chutim that are on the kasef. We have to even go further down in removing those chutim. Amar Rav Safra, to which says the Gemara, Rav Safra commented, Moshe, mi amar rachmana l'teichel bisler. His comment was the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu tell us not to eat meat. So the word Moshe that's used here is, Rashi explains, that whenever we refer to Talmud Chacham, he's called Moshe Rabbeinu. Others say that Moshe is a way of describing the Gadol Hador, the greatest Talmud Chacham of the generation. Others say that it's a Lashon Shvuah. And what he said to us, why are you saying that? Mi amar rachmana l'teich l'basra? Did the Torah tell us not to eat meat? If you're going to go and say that these threads are considered, you're going to say that these blood vessels are usur, that means you're preventing us from being able to eat meat. Amar Rava, to which Rava says to Rav Safra, Moshe, mi amar rachmana echol dama, do you expect that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to eat blood? These vessels are full of blood. However, chatche umalche, if you cut them open to let them bleed, and then you salt it, then the halacha will be a filik deir nami shapidami, you could cook it. That, and Taisa says, what the Gemara means to say is that we know that roasting removes the blood much better than cooking. And therefore we would think, since these are blood vessels, the only way we may eat them is through roasting. That's how we could be confident to get the blood out. So teaches us the Gemara, once we cut them and salt them, we could even cook them. But it seems, according to Tosfos, that even if you're roasting them, you first have to cut them and salt them. The Rashba and the Ramban disagree. And the Ramban, and this is relevant, as we're going to be learning, to many situations of dam. That if we're roasting, there is no need to cut. And the roasting has the ability to take out the blood under all circumstances. Here we're speaking about cutting. Here we're talking about cooking. So cooking, that's where you have to have chatche or malche. But for roasting, that wouldn't be required. Continues the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Reish Ma'aya, the place where the intestines leave the stomach, Ba'amsa Boy Gureira. There's a Amma, and here too Rashi explains that the Amma of where it exits from the stomach, where the intestines ends in the stomach, the Amma of that area, the Amma of that space, we have to take off the chalev, because that's going to be considered chalev al gabi akarev. The other Rishonim explain that this is actually not what's being referred to here. Here we're actually referring to the area by the rectum, and that's the chalev that the Gemara here is referring that we have to take off, that it's chalev. Zeh chalev shel adakim. And he says that's what's meant when the halacha speaks about chalev shel adakim. And when we have this discussion, it opens up a very interesting discussion, because we see that all of these areas that we're identifying as chelev are really in the back half of the animal. And therefore, the question is, there's a minig that amongst Ashkenazim not to eat the back half of an animal. Even when the animal was slaughtered properly and everything is 100% kosher, we don't eat the back half of the animal, because there is concern, as we're learning different about all the different places that we're learning in our shiur today, where we have chelev, and we're learning so many different machlokes rishonim, where we're talking about, and it's complicated, so we just don't eat it. But when I say this, there is a very big question amongst the Paiskim, and that is, when there's a minig amongst Ashkenazic Jews, as I just said, not to eat the back half, what does that mean? That we never eat the back half, even if there's somebody who comes and says that I'm an expert benaker and I know how to do niker, or because we're not really well trained in doing niker on the back half. But if there will be an individual who is well trained, then we're allowed to eat that, that we would be allowed to do niker. This is a very big question amongst Paiskim, but I know that I've had the opportunity to discuss this question with Ramotcha Gross, and Ramotcha Gross Yishlita from Bnei Brak said that, and this is the accepted minig, that amongst Ashkenazic Jews, we don't eat the back half, and we never eat the back half, even if there's going to be somebody who could tell us that somebody could tell us that they know what is chelev, so that they know how to remove it. We have a minig not to eat it. Says the Gemara, Ve'amar Reb Yehuda, chutin shebeukitz, the chutin that come out of the lower spinal column and go into the flank. Chutin shebeukitz asurin, they may not be eaten because the chelev. And the Gemara goes on to explain, chamisha chutin ispa bekafla, there are five threads in the flanks. Tlosim yamina v'tatim esmoila, three on the right side and two on the left side. Tlosim afavtsil etrei trei, the three on the right side branch off into two, and three, and the two on the left side, mefavtzla tlasa, blends off into three parts. Says the Gemara, why do we need to know this? Nafkamina, the shalaflahu, if we pull out these threads while they're still warm, mishtalfi, if we could pull them out from the animal right after we slaughtered the animal and everything is still warm, they easily slide out, and therefore there won't be any problem. Viloi, but we don't remove them when they're still warm, then b'chatuti b'srei, to get them out will be much more complicated, and we're going to have to schlep them out. And therefore, because as the Rishonim explain, that's the only way you'll be able to be guaranteed to get them completely out. Tosfos explains that this halacha, that if they got cold and hard, we have to do chatita. Tosfos says is only a din midrabanan. Continues the Gemara. Amar Abaye v'Tamar Rav Yehuda, cham shechutei hava. There are five groups of places where we have these type of blood vessels. And when we speak about these types of blood vessels, suggests the Gemara, Tlosa Mishum Tarba, three of them are usur because of chelev, the train, and two of those places with these threads, the isur is dama, is blood. And the Gemara explains, the tachli, the threads that are found by the spleen, the kulyusa, the ones that are found by the kidneys and the flank, the tkafli is the kulyusa, are the flank, and the kidneys, they are because of tarba. The yada delua, those that are found by the foreleg and by the jaw, there is dam. says the Gemara, L'may Nafkamina. Why is it important to make these identifications? Says the Gemara, Hani Mishum Dama, the place though the issue is Dam. So the halacha will be Imechatech Lu Malach Lu, if you'll cut it and do Malicha. So that's the way, as we learned, you could take care of any Dam issues. And therefore, it will then be Mut Shap Dami, you'll be allowed to eat them. Hanach, but the ones that are Usur because of Chalev, something which is chaylev is asur. The Ritva, however, says that these identifications that we just learned in the Gemara and all these points, he suggests is only applicable by an animal. But when we speak about a bird, the all of them are only asur because of dam. The Ritva disagrees, and he says that even by a bird that And he says the same, that when we work with a bird, we have to be primarily concerned about blood, not chalev. Says the Ma'amar of Kahana Vitem Rav Yehuda, Chamisha Karma Hava. There are five membranes in an animal that we need to discuss. Tlosa, three of them are Osir Mishum Tarba. Three of them are Isir because of chalev, Vetre Mishum Dam and Tua because of Dam. And the Gemara explains, the takli, the kafli, the kliyosa, when we speak the membranes of the spleen, the flank, and the kidney, their issue is chalev. The bayi u the mukra, mishum dama. But those of the testicle and the brain, their issue, the issue by them, is an issue because of dam. Says the Gemara, Rehuda bar Oishi, have a kakol of leitachle, levi breder of Rehuda bar Chia. Rehuda bar Oishi was peeling off the membrane of a spleen for levi, have a kagom le miloi, and he was just scraping off the upper layer and not going all the way down. Amale, to which levi said to him, chuspei tfei, cut into the membrane, deep into the lower section as well. Asavu ashkechei, and Rehuna met him, and he saying this, Amalei Hacha Avuad Imach Mishmed Rav. That's what your grandfather said. Manu, says the Gemara, who was that? Rav Yosef bar Amma. Loyasa Torah El Shaldad Bavad. When we speak about the chalev on the spleen, that we only have to take from the place which is called the helium. On the spleen, there's a piece of fat that sticks out, and that piece that sticks out is the part that's usur. The rest, says the Gemara, he said it's not usur. Asked the Gemara, so Levi said to him, "Eini v'amar of amnuna tana krum shal tchal usur." The membrane that's on the spleen is usur. Vein chayavan alav, but there's no curse. And he explains his point. Hechidami ilay mishal dad. If we're talking about the part that's on that helium, Amayan Chayavalov, that's real chalev. Ela de Kule. So we see that the chalev anywhere on the spleen is usur. And why are you saying that we don't have to take it off? Says the Gemara, Itana Tana, if that's what we were taught, then I stand corrected. Gufa Amar Avuna Tana, Krum Shalatchol, the membrane that's on top of the spleen. The halacha is that it's asur. Ve'chayavim lov, but we're not chayiv karas for eating it. Krum shalakulya, but the membrane that's on top of the kidney is asur. Ve'chayavim lov, again, there's no chayiv karas for eating it. Ask the Gemara v'atan, but have we not learned that chayavim lov, that we are chayiv? Answers the Gemara, t'chula t'chulay kasha, when we speak about the membrane of the spleen, as we've been saying, hak neged adad, the place that is Neged Hadad next to that helium is real chalev with a chi of karas. Shloi kalagadad. The rest is not chi of karas. Koya nam lekasha. And the same when we have this contradiction about the chalev that is on the kidney, ha below, the one that's to the upper membrane. We learned earlier in our Masechta that there are two membranes. The upper membrane is Chiv Karas. Habitata, the lower membrane, doesn't carry a Chiv Karas. Be'ech HaShulta. So now the Gemara begins a discussion. When we speak about the testicles, of a male animal that are mostly disconnected, but they're still in the sac. What will be the halacha? Rav Ami Rav Asi, machlokes chad asur. Some say that it's asur to eat. V'chad shari, and one man d'ama says it's asur. V'chad shari v'chad asur. And the Gemara says the one that says that it's asur, middle of kabarian, since these cannot become healthy again. So it's considered as part of the animal that was detached from the animal where the animal was still alive. And we know that the halacha is that, of course, we're not allowed to eat Eva Menachai. Amanda Shari, the one that says that we're allowed to eat it, Midalai Kusach Masruchin, since they don't get decomposed, since they're covered by the sack, they're considered as still have some life in them, and since they're considered as they have some life in them, that's why it's not osam adaraisa. And as I saw the Rishonim, the Ritva points out that this is very much connected to an issue that we learned early in the Masechta about Avram Hamadudolim, that the halacha is that Avram that are dangling still from an animal, that the halacha is that the midaraisa, they're not considered Avim and Achai, because they're still connected to the animal. And not only are they still connected to the animal, technically, when we do shechita on the animal, the shechita works for them as well. However, Chazal said that we should be machmer and not eat it midrabanon because of a gezerah of Avim and Achai. That's the way most Rishonim, the Ritva, the Rajba explain this man, the Omer. Others explain that it's osam midaraisa, but there's no chiyuv karis. The opinion that holds it's mutter says that not only is a mutter, but since they're still connected to the animal, they're in that sack, not only are they not osam midaraisa, they're even not osam midrabanan. And therefore I saw that the Rishonim that ask, if we just learned that Chazal was so strict when they spoke about Avram Hamadudolim, that they're also midrabanon, why are they being lenient? Why is this Manda Omer lenient by the Bayim that are still in the sack? And the Rishonim give a very simple answer. When we speak about Avram Hamadudolim, it's obvious to everyone that we have here Avram Hamadudolim. And therefore, because of Gzeira, Chazal said that we should not eat those Evarim Medudolim Agzer, but Evarim Menachai. But when we speak about the testicles that are in the sack, which are not noticeable, so that's why it's not something that's so obvious, and that's why we can be more lenient. And says, ask the Gemara, V'idach, the man Dama that says that we can't eat the Bay, the Shechla, because they're completely disconnected, where we see that they don't get decomposed because they're in the sack, why doesn't he pay any attention to that? Says the Gemara, Haid leka mesruchin, the reason they don't decay is like kishal bei evira, because they're not exposed to the ear. Leka mesruchin evira. Vidach, but not that they're not completely disconnected. Vidach, he says, the other man that takes the lenient approach, says, Haid leka barion, the reason they don't get healthy is kichushosay the knuckle. They're just weak, but they are still considered connected. And since they're considered connected, that's why we may continue eating them. Amalei Rav Yochanan, according to him, Amalei Rav Yochanan of Shim Bar Abba, Hani Beyach Shilta Sharon, he paskin that we're allowed to eat it, but he also told him, Vat loy techel, you shouldn't eat him shum atitosh teresimecha, because you come from a place that the minig was not to eat it, so you should follow that minig. Here, however, there's a discussion, how far does one have to follow the minig of where he comes from? Some Rishonim suggest that the halacha is only if he has intention of going back to where he came from. But if he doesn't intend to go back to where he came from, then he could give up that minig. Rashi seems to learn differently. And Rashi says that Al titoish Torah simecha means that even if you don't intend to come back, then you still have to follow. You still have to follow the minig of your family because of Al titoish Torah imecha. The Paiskim say that if the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch Siman Tov Resh Tes Sif Aleph Paskins, that if somebody lives in a city 12 months, he has to give Maas Chitin. And if he lives in the city that long and he is a poor person that's entitled to Tzedakah, that all the members of this city are entitled to Tzedakah, the same will be the halacha, that if he's in that city for 12 months, he's entitled to get Tzedakah. The Ramah seems to be saying that once you're firmly sitting somewhere else, then you have to follow, then you're not connected to where you came from. But there's a number of points to be made. One point that we have to point out is that there's a question amongst the Paiskim, is all these halachas that you have to follow the minig, is that mean that while you're in the original town, but if you're now not where you came from, do the halacha apply that since that's my minig and I may be going back or not going back, as we quoted, I have to follow the minig even though no one else here follows the minig? Or does the Gemara mean that I can't give up a minig, but I can't give up the minig only where I'm in the place where the minig was originated? But if I'm not in that place, I'm not obligated to follow that minig. It seems that most places can say that when the Gemara says here the concept of Al titoish Torah simecha, what the Gemara means to say is that I'm obligated to follow that minig under all circumstances, furthermore, even if I'm not in the place of that minig. Furthermore, there's a discussion amongst the Paiskim, and that is, if nowadays where we don't live in places that have firm and hugim, we are really just a conglomeration of people that came from many different, that originated from many different places. So when we speak about Menhagim, we don't speak about a Minig Hamokim, because there are really no places, very few places, that the place that we live in has a Minig. The Minig is all based on family Menhagim, and therefore everybody should follow the Menhagim of their family. Continues the Gemara. Amar Ma'abar Avashi, Hanibay the Gadya, the testicles of a young goat, Atlas and Yomim Sharim B'loi Klifa, to the first 30 days, you could eat them without taking off the membrane. Mikan ve'elach, I Azrin, if they have already developed semen, then the halacha is Asurin, then the halacha is that they're Asur. B'lai Azrin, but if they have not yet developed semen sharia. So ask the Gemara, no, Yadin, how do we know if they have or haven't yet developed semen? Says the Gemara, yes, by shiraiki sumki, if they have red streaks, that is a proof that they developed semen and a serum. Less by shiraiki sumki, but if they don't have yet red streaks, they're a surim, the sharia, there's no semen. This is the way, so there's a big machlaikis, Rishonim, that even though the Gemara pointed out that we're speaking about the testicles of a young goat, the question is, what is that only that type of a goat? Most Rishonim are of the opinion that the Gemara is speaking about a behemah daka, that anything, any behemah daka has that halacha, but not a behemah gasa. And there's some Rishonim that I saw that want to suggest that what the Gemara is even speaking about, the behemah, that this Gemara is speaking about a behemah gas as well, until we see that they develop semen, the halacha is that we could eat even the klipa. Umtzi, says the Gemara, a piece of raw meat that has a red discoloration. And the red discoloration typically is caused by ruptured blood vessels. Beya, the testicles. Mezruki, the blood vessels of the neck. Says the Gemara, pligaba is actually a machloikus of Rav Acha and Ravina. It's a machloikus of Rav Acha and Ravina, says the Gemara. And interestingly, suggests the Gemara, b'chol ha'tayr kula, And everywhere when we have such a machlokes, typically Ravina lekula v'rach v'chumra. Ravina takes the lenient approach, and Rav Acha takes the chumradig approach. V'ilchasak Ravina lekula, and we follow Ravina lenient approach. L'va mahani tlas, except for these three subjects that we just identified, the Rav Acha lekula. Rav Acha takes the lenient approach. Ravina takes the chumra, takes the strict approach, and says the Gemara, v'ilchasak Rav Acha lekula, and we pass him like Rav Acha lekula. Umtsa the asmik, a piece of raw meat that turned red because of the ruptured blood vessels. Chatcha umalcha, if you cut it and you salt it, then you could take that meat that you could even and cook it, and we could be confident you got all the blood out. Talia nami b'shvuda, if you roasted it, dav dama, it causes the blood to flow out. A gumri, but if you fosted it directly by putting them on hot coals, pligibar ravach ravina, says the Gemara, it's actually machlokes ravach ravina. Chanama misha shavli, one man dama says that the heat draws out the blood and therefore you may eat the meat. Chanama matzah tzomisle, that the heat, if you put the meat directly on top of the coals, it causes that the blood should get more absorbed. V'kein be'i, and the same question will come up when we speak about the testicles. V'kein mizraki, and the same question will come up when we speak about the blood of the blood vessels of the neck. Says the Meiri that if you went through the process that the Gemara just told you to do, then the halacha is that you could eat the meat even if it still has red juice. We need not be concerned about that red juice. It's not considered, that red juice is not considered blood, and therefore it's mutter. Moreover, the Paiskim point out that when we speak about the Mizraki, we speak about the blood vessels in the neck, we're not talking about veridim. We mentioned earlier in the Masechta that there are veridim, there are arteries by the neck of an animal. And the halacha is that when we speak about the arteries by the neck of the animal, everybody agrees that they must be cut during the act of that they should be cut by the shechita, just like the simanim should be cut. Reish v'kivsha, if you put the head of an animal in hot coals, If you put it into the coals in Eisvei Beisa Shchita, you put it in an upright position, Dayev Dame, so then the blood will flow out for Shari. However, at Stadim, if you put the blood, the neck, the head on the side, Mikva Kofi, what that causes is that the blood should just get congealed in there. It doesn't have where to escape, and therefore it's osur. Oisrei nechire, if you put the animal on its nose, dots bemide, if you put something into the nostrils to keep them open, and that's how you're going to get the blood to come out. Therefore, it's shari. Eloi, if not, it's osur. Ikedamri, but there's a different version. And nechire beis hashchiti, if it was put on its nostrils, or it was put with the blood, a base of shechita, that the blood could just roll out, then at stadim, then it's mutter. At stadim, if it's put on the side, then the halacha will be idatz be midi. If you put something in that give a place for the blood to escape, the halacha will be that it's shari, v'iloi, it's asur. The Rishonim debate, this is in a place where we're salting it. What would be the halacha if we roast it? Will we say that roasting will, that this halacha is only by roasting? Or on the contrary, roasting will always be sufficient. This is where we're not roasting. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul Shnei Gidim Heim. There are two Gidim. When we speak about, the Gemara now goes back to speaking about the Gera Nashim. The Rosh, just before we go further, the Rosh says, based on this Gemara, that one should never eat head meat without roasting it, since we see that there's all this discussion about how to get the blood out of the head, that the halacha is that we should only eat it with tzliya. Says the Gemara, going back to the Gid Anosha, Amr Yudam Shmuel Shnei Gidenheim, there are two Gidim, has Pnimi Samach Latzen, the inner one is needed to the bone, and that's the Gid Anosha, which is Osir, and that's the Gid Anosha V'chayovimov, that's the Gid Anosha that the Torah speaks about. Chitzen, the outer one, is Samach Labosir, is next to the meat. Osir, it's Osir, but however, that's not the Gid Anosha that the Torah says that it's Osir, because it's not a distinct Gid Anosha, it's just mixed into the meat, and that's the way Rashi learns, and that's why it's not Osir. But Tanya, but ask them what Brisa says, Pnimi Samach Labosir, and that it's Osir, says the Amr Avachi, a Kludi Miklid. The Brisa is describing as the one close to the basar, because after it goes over the thigh, it goes into the meat like a key. But Tanya Chitzen Asamach Latzen, it says the one. We're learning that the sichin is next. The chitzen is next to the bone. It says Mar Miuda Haich the Pari Tapchi. It's placed where the butchers uncover it. There it's next to the bone, but then it starts going into the animal. Itmar, Tabach Shenimsa Chelav Akrav. The Gemara goes into a different discussion. It says the Gemara, Tabach Shenimsa Chelav Akrav, if a butcher did nikra on a piece of meat, and after we did nikr, we find Chelav, Rav Yehuda Mekasaira, Rav Yehuda says if we find Chelav, the shear of a Kasaira, Rav Yochan Amar, that we speak of the Kazayas. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa, but they're not really arguing. Kalach Kaisai, Rav Yochan speaking about Malkus, and he says that you won't get Malkus only if there was a Kazayas of Chalif. La Abroi, to take him away, then the halacha is that we remove him from the position that, and you can't buy meat from him anymore, that's even by a Saira. Of course, the Rishonim point out that when the Gemara says La'al Kaisai, the Gemara, of course, understands it, that it's also going to be, that he has to be removed from his position of being a Menachar. Omar Mazutra, when we speak about a Saira, it has to be, we speak about the shear of a Kaisaira, it's B'makom Echad, it's in one spot. When we speak about the shear of Kazayas, they combine, I feel b'shnayim v'shloshim mekaymus. Vilchasa, and the Gemara tells us that the halach is la'al kaisai, as far as Malkus is concerned, it's b'kazayis. La'abroi, to remove him, the shear is a soira. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, enet abachan amanam al nikar, and the tcham hold that they are trusted. To which the Gemara comments, Amar b'chi bar Abba, Amar b'yachran, v'chazru lo'im in amanam, that the Narachim say that they are trusted, and that if they come and say that this gid, that this animal had the gid anoshi removed, everything was done properly, we trust them. To which Rav Nachman comments, Achshiridari, doesn't mean that people became better, and now we trust them, and even though originally we didn't. Says the Gemara, Mikara, says the Gemara, have a savlik Rameya. At the beginning they held like Rameya, that, as we've been discussing, Ramey's opinion is that when we remove the gid, that you have to really dig in and completely remove the dig. And therefore, since you completely have to remove the gid, it's a very big job, and therefore, lo have a mehemni, we can't trust that they did it. But then they paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that just scraping it is enough. That's not such a difficult thing to do, and therefore we could trust them when they say they did it. But then, says the Gemara, Ikad Masnali Seifa, some say that this discussion is going on the Seifa in the Mishnah. The Chum Aymen Amonim Alav Fala Chalev, the Chum said that we could trust the people on the Gid and on the Chalev, to which Amr Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yochanan Chazal Aymer Shein Amonim, that they're not trusted. And Amar Rav Nachman, and says the Gemara, the Rav Nachman said that even though in the time of Rav Yochanan, we stopped trusting them, Bezman Azen Amonim. To which the Gemara asks, Akshrei Dara, does it mean that people got better? And originally we didn't trust them, and now we're trusting them? Says the Gemara, what happened was, Mikara Savra Krab Yudei Helek Krab Yehuda, that just scraping is sufficient. Hada Savru Krameh, then they Helek Krameh, that they have to completely dig it out, which is complicated and not necessarily can we trust the people. And then they remembered that the din of Rabbi Yehuda, that they don't have to just do scraping, because they were, since there were butchers that did like Rabbi Yehuda, that didn't do what the halacha requires. The halacha requires scraping, and they did not just scraping. They did, they just did scraping. We can't believe them. So since there was a time, there were butchers that were following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which should not be followed. That's why we can't trust the butchers. But now says the Gemara that they forgot what Rabbi Yehuda said. So everybody's properly doing what Rameyah said and Mehemni. We learned in the Mishnah that they're also trusted al Chalev. Ask the Gemara, Chalev man decha shemayu. Where does Chalev come into our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Hachikamar. Ein nemanim alav. We can't trust the Tabachim regarding the Gid, the al Chalev. We can't trust them regarding the Chalev. The Chamayimrim, because always we need to be concerned that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. The chamam nemanim olav al chaylev, that they can be trusted regarding them and regarding the chaylev. Says the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both paskin that in practice one should only purchase meat from a reputable butcher who's muksuk bekashrus. So the Beis Ephraim says that when removing, if a butcher, as we learned in Agamar, was caught with chalev left, we have to remove him from his position. Says the Beis Ephraim that the Beis Din should not penalize or remove a butcher from his post unless they know firsthand of what his infraction, what they heard from Edom. However, he says Beis Din cannot take action just based on a rumor, even if it's a persistent rumor. And he says that even a person who's careful and always acts stringently, especially about the meat that he eats, could still buy meat from a person, from a butcher, that you have these rumors about him. Because unfortunately, competition or others circulate rumors that are not true. The Rashba says that a Beis Din takes action immediately upon a butcher's first infraction. They shouldn't give a butcher a second chance. The Mashal disagrees. He says only a repeat offender should be punished. But if this is the first time that Chalev is discovered, we give him a warning and we give him a second chance. The Mashal, however, does write that every situation has to be judged independently to make a determination what to do. The Ramah says that if a butcher has to be removed, the amount of time and what he has to do to be able to be reinstated says is dependent. Then, and he says, if the butcher, what he did was based on monetary gain, the halacha is that there we have to be much stricter. And it's much more complicated to reinstate him. But if it's attributed because he was careless, so there we could be a little more lenient in letting him come back to his position.